Good evening, everybody. I hope you can hear me. I said I hope you can hear me okay, and then I promptly put my phone down and stopped recording. I'm actually dialysing as I speak, and I'm sure it's no surprise to anybody that I'm joining in on this topic. And the question Claire Randall raised was, I can't remember what she raised. I can't remember her precise questions, but she was talking about the fact that a new report has come out which says that 42% of those people who were signed up to the donor register, when they died, their families overruled this and didn't let them be donors. The other thing she asked was, well, would we be happy to be on the to go on the donor register? I'm not on the donor register, actually, and I really ought to be. I mean, nobody's going to want my kidneys or my eyes, but my lungs are perfectly fine, my heart is perfectly fine, my liver is perfectly fine, and probably whatever else they might use. I think they use a what's the other thing they do? Not the spleen. I can't think of it. Anyway, it's a part of your stomach, and I can't think of the name of it. I think you can have a transplant. It'll probably come to me. Sorry, I'm having a senior moment, or a senile moment, I should say. I really ought to look into it. I hope I still would be able to go on the donor register, even though obviously my kidneys and my eyes are no good. I'm still trying to think of that name. Oh dear, how awful, I can't think of it. Anyway, I would be quite happy. I would never sign my children up for it. I think that's a very personal decision that they can only make themselves, and that's fair enough. However, the only advantage I can see to that is in the awful, tragic event of someone losing a child, which is one of the most awful things that anybody...
890 grams.
Shut up. Anybody has to ever endure, to be honest, because you don't expect to bury your children, realistically. If they were signed up, then it would save the very delicate question of you having to be asked, and I think they would still ask you, and it must be very awkward to be approached like that in such a time of terrible grief. But some people, I've listened to extensively to interviews on this subject, and I've heard people saying what a comfort it is to know that their son or daughter was able to give life to like five other people, or a chance of a new life to five other people. And there was one lady who she didn't know who the donor was that had given her a little girl. I think it was a liver. It was either a heart or a liver when she was very young. And so every year on the anniversary of the donation, even though she didn't know who this person was, and she writes a letter, and I don't think anyone ever sees it, but she writes a letter saying all the things that her daughter has done in that year, which I think is a really nice thing to do. And it's remembering. She said she'd never forget that someone somewhere, you know, had to go through a terrible loss, which she was heading for, and because of their kindness, they saved her daughter's life. And it's very powerful stuff when you hear people talking like that. And then you hear the other hand, on the other side, you hear like a mother of somebody who said their son or daughter died, and they've had letters from people who received their eyes or their the kidney or whatever, and they like to know that in some way their child is, or their loved one is still living. So while I wouldn't sign my children up to it, it's their decision. I don't know. I think it's the sort of thing you'd have to take it, play it by ear, and you might feel, you know, if they're lucky enough, you might feel able to consider it at the time. It's not something I would want to think about in advance, I suppose. The other thing is, I don't feel that the family should have any right to override what the dead person's wishes were. In the same way that I don't believe, if they knew that their relative really did not want to be a donor, I don't think there's any way that they should be, you know, maybe there's a family member that's all for donation and says, oh yeah, that's fine, yeah, they're not going to know any better or whatever. I don't believe in that. I don't know if you can do it that way around, but I don't believe either way. I think if the person who dies hasn't expressed a wish, I think this is probably how it is now, then the families are consulted, and then it's up to them whether they want to donate the organs or not. If the person has expressed a wish, and certainly if they have actually put it in writing and carry a donor card and on the donor register, there is no way, in my opinion, that that should be overturned. That is just going against a dead person's wishes, and they're not there to defend themselves or to, you know, I think that's really horrible. The thing that worries me, and I'm sure there'll be lots of safeguards about this, is that if they think they're going to get like 5 organs from somebody or whatever, is there a danger? Pancreas, that's the thing. I think you can have a transplant of a pancreas, I believe, or part of it. I knew I'd remember it in the end. Is there a danger that they might write somebody off too quickly because they think they can save 5 other people's lives? Hello, Pinky. I hope that's not possible and that it would never happen, or that it has never happened. It probably has at some place, you know, sometime. I'm not comfortable at all with the opt-out situation. I think that it's great if people want to be a donor. I need a donor, but I wouldn't want someone to be forced to donate a kidney. I think it's really got to be something that comes from your heart or the heart of your family, if you haven't expressed a preference either way. I don't know if they're allowed to do that. I suppose they are. But you see, I just don't agree with it. I'm not comfortable with it at all. Even though I'm 80 people a day is a very scary statistic, especially when you're actually in the queue. You know, when you're
890 grams.
When you're potentially one of those people.
900 grams.
But having said that, I still don't believe in opting the opt-out. I think
905 grams.
Everyone should have the choice. Of course, they still have the choice, but it's, you know, it's kind of reversed, and you do still have the choice, but you're not so free with it. You know, you've got to go to all the palaver of opting out. You know, you're kind of like forced into it almost, and I'm not at all happy with that. I have had a couple. I mean, my husband offered to be a donor. He was tested.
905.
We're different blood groups, which throws up a lot of complications. It's not impossible. I haven't really talked at length with anybody about it. I will do when I see the surgeon, which should be the next step. I will find out more about that than third-hand stuff. I have also, my oldest son Connor said if everything else failed, he would give me his, and I won't take that. Or my nephew Louis said he would be tested. I cannot take a member of my family's kidneys. I don't think I can take my husband's kidneys. I certainly can't take my son's kidney. I really can't do it. Now, whether those two, my nephew and my son, would still want to do it when they've had the first interview is another matter, because it's very gruelling. OB wouldn't even tell me what they told him. He was told not to, because he knew I had very much a lot of doubts about it, but whether I could emotionally take something that big from somebody else. I've got real issues with it. And so he was told not to tell me all the information he was given about the risks. I think it's basically the risks to the donor. People say, oh, it's nothing much, but there are risks involved. Of course, there are risks with any general anaesthetic, but it's not just, you know, there's other risks as well. So it's not all plain sailing, just, oh, you go in hospital one day, they whip out your kidney, you know, you're off work for at least a month, you can't work, you've got to be monitored for the rest of your life. So you're signing up to that. And the worst case scenario, you can die, basically. So it's a very big decision for somebody to accept a donor. Some people just seem to be able to do it without any qualms, or at least on the surface without any qualms. Maybe they do have them.
915
So now I'm probably going to wait for a deceased donor. So I would be very uncomfortable with the fact that they had been forced into it when they didn't want to. I would want to know that when I receive a kidney from someone, they wanted to give it to me. They didn't want to die, but in doing so, they wanted to give life to somebody else, or a new life to somebody else. So I will be very uncomfortable with the notion that someone might have meant to opt out. They might have been on their way to do it. They might have been going to do it next week, and then they get hit by a bus or drop dead from a heart attack in the supermarket. I would be very uncomfortable thinking that my kidney might come from someone like that. Very, very uncomfortable. I don't think to the point that I would refuse because I wouldn't know the circumstances. I'd have to hope that it wasn't that. But now I know it isn't that. I can be sure that whoever wanted to give their kidney wanted to give it. Whoever gave their kidney to me wanted to do so. Not because, oh, I meant to do that. Oh, I was going to do that next week, but I died before I could get to the page of online or doctors or whatever you have to do to opt out. So I want to know when my time comes that someone gave that gift willingly for me. Well, not knowing it was going to be me, but because I have still big reservations about taking it even from someone who's dead. I don't want someone to have to die for me, but then I suppose the only way I can look at it is they're going to die anyway, and that organ, if it doesn't come to me, it'll go to someone else. Or if it didn't go to anyone, it would just be wasted. It's not going to do them any good. It's not going to bring them back. They're dead. It's not going to do them any good. So if it can do someone else good, and they wanted it to do someone else good, then that's brilliant. And there's no greater gift you can give, really, than something like that. Because I try not to go on about it too much, but my life has completely changed as a result of kidney failure. I never thought it would get this bad so quickly. I was diagnosed 9 years ago, but then up until, I'd probably say about 18 months ago, my life went on as normal. I went to the hospital, I had blood tests, I was on medication for high blood pressure, I did this, I did that. But urine samples, my erythropoietin injections, every so often iron injections, once in a while, every couple of years. But I carried on. I'd get a little bit tired, but I could still walk. I would still sometimes walk right to my mum's and back, which is like 3.5 miles each way, without a problem. Now, I haven't got the stamina I had, and I get tired so easily doing small things, and it's hard to accept the change. And the only hope I've got is a donation from somebody. The only hope I've got. There's no cure for kidney failure. It's not a cure. Even a transplant isn't a cure. It's a treatment. It's the best option for me. That's what I was told right at the start. Because of my age, a lot of people are a lot older than me. I'm quite young to need a kidney. Others are much younger people than me too. But the best option for me is a transplant. I may even have several, if I'm lucky enough.
920 grams.
That's my best option. That's always what I've been told right from the start. Well, the best option for you would be ultimately to have a transplant. when the time comes. And I'd say, well, when is the time going to come? Oh, we don't know. We just don't know. It's very hard to say. And then about
920
4 years ago, the consultant said to me, my kidney function wasn't looking so bad. Well, it was under 20%, but it was stable. It'd been like that for a while. And I said, well, how long do you think it'll be before I need to go on dialysis? He said, looking at the way the things are now, I'd say 2 years. And he was exactly right. Exactly right. So in that time, I prepared myself. But I never really thought it would come to it. I don't know. I never thought it would really come to it. So I went on and I didn't deny it. I wasn't really in denial.
925 grams.
I didn't dwell on it, I suppose. And then I just went, when it happened, I went with the flow. Not much else you can do, really. So I thank all those people who do put themselves on the donor list. And I hate, not hate, that's too strong a word, but I despise the people who override their wishes when they die. I think that's absolutely appalling. Absolutely appalling. It should not be allowed. If that's a written thing, a donor card, with their name on, what more evidence do you want? That's what they wanted. That was their wish. No one wants to die, let's face it. Come on now. But they had the forethought to think that they could prolong someone else's life. And then there's the family, the selfish family. I mean, we all know that someone's going to be grieving for you, but, you know, surely they should be made to abide by their wishes. Your family come along. Well, actually, I don't want them to give their heart. What good's he going to do them? It's not going to do them any good. They're gone. They're not coming back. I know it's not a very nice thought to think of them being cut open and it taken out and stuff. It's not nice. But it's only the body, the soul and the spirit have gone. Anyway, I think I better get off my my soapbox for now, because I'm going out in a minute, and I've got to get
ready.
We're going out for a meal, and my husband's hungry. Heaven forbid. Speak to you soon.